WTRN.
The place to be. There you go. You got two singing, huh? There you go.
That's it.
You got Rachel doing it?
No.
I got the song and dance for you.
I inspire this in people.
It's what happens.
It's time for another edition of Ride at Home, brought home to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union. Your community, your credit union, as we are joined by local realtor, bon vivant, man about town, entrepreneur.
I'm that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt Gargiulotti.
That's me.
Yeah.
Hi.
Singer.
Hello.
Another Friday comes and goes.
Is it Friday today?
It is already Friday.
Gosh.
That's why you're here.
God, yesterday.
We don't see you
every
other
time. It seemed
like
it was Thursday yesterday, and now I'm here.
You know, just a short 24 hours.
Why don't you drink some more coffee there, too?
I need a little more because I'm a little jittery here. That calms me down.
So, yeah. Good morning.
Short 24 hours ago, it was Thursday.
Short. Well, you cannot hear it, folks. So, good morning. Real estate, it's out there.
It is.
We're in here.
Yes, it is.
It's warm in here.
People always talk about Grinnell like it's...
Exceptional? Nice?
Well, it
fun.
Is nice. It is it
small,
is exceptionally
bubbly?
Nice. It's small. It's convenient.
Urban?
No. No, not urban. Sorry.
Cosmopolitan?
No. No. Neapolitan, maybe.
Neapolitan?
Yeah.
I like
the ice cream.
Yeah, I like the ice cream.
There you go.
Ice cream's
great. A nice blend of stuff.
It is. Well, I mean, it's kind
of
like...
That's a heck of an analogy. We're not cosmopolitan. We're Neapolitan because we're a blend.
Well, I mean, I think that would probably maybe apply maybe in places that have a larger population of like maybe ethnically French immigrants. But,
possibly.
Right. I mean, I think of many places across like Minnesota or Canada.
Could be worse. We could be like Nebraska. It's not for everyone. That's their new slogan.
Really?
Yeah, that's their new marketing slogan.
You know, no.
Nebraska.
No,
it's, no. Face it. It's not for everyone.
That can't be accurate.
It's true. It is true. I kid you not.
Wow. Yeah, it's also Grinnell. I've actually been... sorry, it's hard to unhear that. But no, Grinnell, I've actually been... in our surrounding communities, for that matter. I've actually been looking at some other markets across the Midwest. Just to make sure that, and it sounds crazy, but one thing that I think is really important as I go through these numbers weekly and then review our monthly numbers and then also take a long-term kind of perspective of like what the last, how many years have we been doing this? Three, four?
Seems like forever sometimes.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
And this one's going to take forever too. So, but I'll go through that and kind of see what that looks like. And really looking at those outside markets of similar places, is important. I don't find too many of them in Iowa, but there are some communities that are similar in size or similar in, similar economy or similar proximity to the surrounding, you know, communities. So, I mean, that's one of the things that is truly unique about where we are here specifically, which is this is one of the most accessibly remote places in Iowa, right?
And so there's a nice oxymoron.
Well, it's true. It's because we're on the interstate, but we're still kind of an hour away from everything.
We're beautifully ugly. And...
Right. So,
what did you say?
Accessibly remote.
Accessibly remote.
Yeah.
It's true.
Because if you look at at the map, we're actually about dead center and a little south, right? I mean, so we're kind of right in the middle of Iowa, but when it comes to the Iowa population centers, we're also kind of in the middle of all of that. So that tends to put a lot of different people within this type of community. And so I was actually looking at I was actually talking to a real estate agent and yesterday from Princeton, Illinois, which is about an hour and a half west of Chicago. And I just kind of started looking at numbers. I'm like, sale prices, really similar. Population center, also really similar. So are we talking about like 9,000? Are we talking about 20,000 or 5,000? I mean, I think it was 7,500 versus our 9,000. And I'm like, wow, that's actually really similar as this goes. And I'm like, okay, now let's look at the economic diversity, like try to see what the home values are of the surrounding smaller and slightly larger towns if they're in close proximity. And it's also kind of a mirror of what this is. And so, I mean, home prices of Brooklyn or Malcolm were pretty comparable to its surrounding smaller towns as well. You know, smaller towns, I'm basically saying like, you know, 1,500, 3,000 or less. You know, just right. You know, maybe a downtown, maybe a stoplight. When I love these places. I'm not critiquing them. I lived in Brooklyn. I loved it. But I mean, also seeing that, so it's like, you know, and then I kind of got into this mindset of thinking like, well, truly, how exceptional are we? We may be remarkable, but
not exceptional.
Right.
There's a good distinction there.
Yeah. Cause across the Midwest.
Cause remarkable, but you know.
I ended up with some similar pieces too, around the Twin Cities areas, where there were some also kind of similar sized communities within that same kind of driving distance, the similar home values, similar markets. I mean, obviously, each of these places, economic diversity is different.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're looking at population centers and when you're looking at the average sale price of a home, and then its proximity to what makes it, you know, excessively remote, which I guess I might just coin that term, I guess.
Yes, patent pending. Copyright.
That's right. Watch out for my trademark, folks. It's
coming.
And then we end up with something that's really similar. And so it's interesting. You know, I've heard a lot of people refer to not just Grinnell, but our county as kind of an oasis in the center of Iowa. And it is to a point. But it's also really, in many ways, it also translates a lot to what several parts of the Midwest look like when they have kind of the same kind of structure that we do. Similar home values. You're looking at similar distances to major cities, similar populations, and similar real estate markets. And so... obviously, I mean, there's many different, different contributing pieces too. So like, you know, like Moline, Illinois obviously wouldn't necessarily be comparable because it's really within like, the Quad Cities area. And you have a giant employer of like Caterpillar, right?
Right.
But in some ways that actually might be more comparable to what Newton was at one point when Maytag was kind of in full steam. Because, you know, you also have a major employer that so many things rely on around that. So that diversity of employment is the other thing that I started to look at within these communities. And I was like, I wonder, you know, like and this is Google search and phone calls from between a few colleagues that I've known or, you know, met at conferences or whatnot. And we end up with like places that are also similar, not necessarily all college towns, because we're not really a college town. We're, you know, Grinnell College, I think, happens to be in Grinnell. I mean, there is some strong integration across that, but it's also a 3-year residency requirement. So, it's also, there's no Greek system, right? And so you don't end up with a town that follows the college really, you know, really actively and really aggressively or a lot of those students being, and a lot of them, I mean, being the majority of them being local residents versus being on campus residents too. I mean, they are still residents of the community. I'm not critiquing that. And, you know, I think they're outstanding and I'm glad they're here, but, that was an interesting piece too, is like, well, you know, let's see what kind of, you know, of these towns do attract, this population attract kind of that similar size, right? Similar college size, maybe similar, employer size. And what we end up with, as I discovered, and obviously there's still much more research I could do in this direction, but, was seeing like how many communities, actually had really pretty exceptional employers, kind of like we do here right now. So everything from like, you know, Grinnell Regional Medical Center to, you know, the Mayflower, Sealand Park, Grinnell Mutual, West Finch Auto, Steve Link, the college. The list goes on and on. Remax Partners Realty is a great employer right here. I mean, things like that, right? I mean, and that translates kind of back over the other direction. So as I was talking to some other agents, one of the other pieces that I encountered was, how many real estate companies do you have? And I know it sounds kind of like an industry question, but I usually think it's a pretty active canary in a coal mine, right? Like, does this stand out that way? Like, does it, you know, are we talking like one or two places? Are we talking a dozen? You know, I think what Grinnell has like what, like 7 or 8 or 9. There's actually quite a few real estate companies based out of Grinnell that work, you know, obviously in multiple places. And And that was a similar piece. And so, right. And so their real estate, as valuable as it is, which was slightly higher than the surrounding areas, like we are here, also had a really active community of people looking for that. And then I asked about, like, do you hear people in your community routinely talk about housing shortage? And that question was, yeah. And I'm like, is it a housing shortage? Or is it a lack of affordable housing? Or what is it? You know, is this for, you know, looking at trying to find somebody to, you know, a place for somebody to live who's coming in for an entry-level job? Like, they're having a hard time renting, or they're having a hard time buying, or it's like, well, our prices start higher than the surrounding areas. So those external areas turned into bedroom communities for ours. And I'm like, oh, okay, that does sound familiar. So, no, I mean, it's a fascinating, you know, few phone calls and some Google searches and looking at some stats from other communities. And yeah, no, we are, you know, we're indigenous to this within the Midwest.
Yeah, the after listening to all that, sort of, what happened.
Sorry.
No, I...
You got a little drool right there.
Sorry. The one distinction, though, I think you can make, because you talked about two markets here.
Right.
One of them is outside of Chicago. One of them is outside the Twin Cities. We don't have that major... I mean, both of those are really major metropolitan areas versus...
However,
and I'm not knocking Des Moines. I'm not knocking...
No, yeah.
But
I get you.
So in that area, this might be a little bit more unique than...
We could be more exceptional.
We could be more exceptional than some of those others. Just
is that
because,
a statement or is that a question?
I mean, I don't know. It could be both.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Obviously, there's not a major metropolitan. However, we have something that is also unique, which is... the three metropolitan, well, I mean, aside of the Quad Cities, but the three metropolitan areas, right? So between Cedar Rapids, you know, Cedar Rapids, Waterloo,
right. Mm-hmm.
Iowa City, and Des Moines, we're essentially equidistant to those.
Right.
Which is also unusual. And so, I would say that actually kind of provides, even put those three together, you end up with something that resembles a major city. Not quite there, but close. And I actually think that kind of like acts as that piece for us. Because, I mean, there's a lot of people here that, and this is usually foreign to a lot of people who have no idea, but there are people here that commute, you know, daily to, you know, Des Moines, Iowa City, Riverside. I actually know some people who commute as far away as Riverside. There's some commuters to Fairfield, commuters to Waterloo. There was a friend of mine who actually commuted to Cresco. And so, yeah, no, I mean, there are some, you know, I mean, it's the central location of this is what is that uniqueness of, I think, that you're pointing out, Tim.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, kind of odd. Odd thing to talk about on a Friday morning.
Well, you know, but you sometimes think of yourself as, you know, what a unique little bubbly situation
right,
that we have
right.
here. And now here's another question. Maybe you did ask this, maybe you didn't ask this, but
sure.
Maybe next time is, are they... And we always talk about how Grinnell is sort of insulated from a lot of the external things.
We are, to a point, yeah.
Yeah. Do they have that similar insulation?
Yeah, I would argue that, I mean, based on what I've seen, I would imagine that there's some. Their market is insular.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I would say that our market...
People just want to talk to you.
Yeah, no, my phone rings all day long.
Dang.
It just happens.
How do you put up with that?
It's a little challenging sometimes.
The only people who ever want to talk to me are the people who
want
to...
I'll call you once a week if you want.
Yeah, people just want to call and remind me that, hey, you got a student loan. Yeah, we have it. I don't have a student loan.
Right, yeah, I get the same ones. And calls frequently, yeah.
Yeah.
But that insular piece is... Yeah, no, I think that the way that our market is I mean, it's obviously affected by all the same outside financial, you know, calamities and ups and downs of whatever market informs that, or what commodity informs that, or tariffs, or, I mean, there's so many different things that contribute to what a housing market looks like, new, old, existing, commercial, you name it. And absolutely, some of that translates into an instantaneous effect, like, oh my God, this went up. What am I going to do? My interest rate now just went up, you know, almost 2 to 3 points. I'm not going to be able to afford this house payment that I was for the contract that we're under. So, I mean, that's something for the real estate agents to hopefully they write a decent contract to protect them for that. But that, I mean, so like there's something in a way that affects that buyer or consumer instantaneous. Like it has to happen like right now. They're like, oh my gosh. On the next direction would be like, well, if we're looking through like a housing bubble burst in, let's say Vegas or San Francisco. Well, San Francisco is not going to burst, but I mean Vegas or like San Antonio or Minneapolis. You're going to start to see that, you know, those that economy kind of collapse around there a little bit. Whereas ours won't actually change very much. It'll actually stay pretty stable, pretty safe. Eventually, it'll catch up with us. And eventually, we'll end up with years like, you know, 2009 or 2010, where, you know, our market numbers were some of the lowest they've ever been. But we also don't end up in, like, financial collapse either. So it takes a lot longer for that to actually kind of, like, get to us, if that makes any sense. So there is some protection in that. I mean, so being as remote... not necessarily just geographically, but financially has been helpful, I would say, to this, you know, these communities over the years.
I know one other thing that makes us unique.
Okay, you?
Well, I was going to say you. I doubt that those people have a Matt Card gelato.
Oh, come on. You'd be surprised. There's one of us on every street corner wearing an Aloha shirt.
We are right at home with Matt Card gelato this morning here on Right at Home, brought to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union. Your community, your credit union.
University of Iowa Community Credit Union is the number one mortgage lender in Iowa. That's because they offer low rates, no 1% origination fee, and 100% financing. For residents living in Grinnell and the surrounding areas, they also have a local mortgage expert right in Grinnell. Aaron Black has 17 years of mortgage experience and is ready to serve you from their office at 705 6th Avenue in downtown Grinnell. Contact Aaron at 236-1801 or online at uiccumortgage.com to get started with your purchase and refinance mortgage loan. UICCU is an equal housing lender.
Back on Right at Home with Matt Cargelotti, and it's time to crunch some numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see how crunchy they are.
Okay.
They're not too bad. They are exactly what I expect them to be, which... I mean, it'd be nice if they surprised me too. We had 132 listed properties currently right now, and the total amount listed was last week was 133, and so it's actually still our inventories. I mean, is still low in great comparison to last year. I mean, at the same time last year we're looking at, it's actually higher, which is the first time I can say that. Yeah, we're almost exactly the same. So 129 to 132. So I think we may have actually started to align with what our inventory was last year. This might actually indicate that we've kind of stabilized in our autumn cycle, winter cycle. The average time on market's 181 days, and it was 184 days. So I mean, also, you know, it appears to be kind of a period of stability with which is actually our kind of market slowing down. The solds we had last week were 4, which was up slightly from 3. We also had quite a few pendings come through at 9, which is up slightly from 8. It's actually the highest amount of pendings we've had come through in 1 week since July. So, I mean... I think there might be a little fair weather panic right now. I'm like, we gotta buy this before it snows on the ground. And so it looks like that there might be a little bit of change from there that's kind of giving us a little shot in the arm and some economic health in our market. We've only had 2 new listings come on here in the last 7 days, which is quite a bit different from 19 from the previous week. However, last week we had 114 days as the average time on market for those 19 listings, which is an indicator that a lot of that was old inventory coming on. For these 2 new listings, they average 5 days. So we actually have 2 real new listings out there to look at. I think the right now, I mean, all signs kind of point to a little bit of a slowdown here during the weather change and as we approach the holidays. I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of the market kind of just do its normal kind of take a nap between Thanksgiving and Christmas as it does every year. I know right now, I think as an office, we have close to 20 open transactions. So there's still quite a few transactions yet to close. And so, I mean, that'll, I mean, I would imagine that we would represent that percentage of the marketplace, so that as that's reflected without that, I mean, we're probably still looking at many transactions still yet to close this year. Yeah, not so bad. Decent year, too.
All right. And you're running into this holiday end of the year situation?
Yeah, which is like, I'm just checking out, man. I'm just messing with you, Tim.
Time to
wrap it up, folks.
Time to head to the Bahamas for a while until start to do it again.
Right.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for this edition of Right at Home, brought home to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union. Your community, your credit union. Again, a version of this, you'll find this archived at our website at myiowainfo.com along with Matt's numbers. You can crunch along with him. And we'll do it again in the same bat time, same bat station next week. For Matt Cargelotti, I'm Tim Dill for 1410 KGRN.
Hey, I get allergic smelling hay. But give me Park Avenue.
The chores.
The chores.
Fresh air.
I'm Sam.
You are my wife.